Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
He is a news grabber in South Africa perennially. Is the state of our state-owned enterprises. We've spoken at length about Eskom on this show in the past, the launch of the new transmission operator. We've spoken quite a bit about Transnet, what's happening at the ports and the like. And of course, the Standing Committee on Public Accounts in Parliament, or SCOPA as it's known, needs to also hear these updates, which yesterday was the first of which they received from the newly constituted Transport Ministry. And newly constituted insofar as with the move of SAA into the Transport Ministry, this was the first report back that Minister Barbara Creecy was able to deliver to SCOPA on both SAA and Transnet. We may focus on Transnet tomorrow, but today wanted to hone in a little bit on SAA because I think the information or the insights on SAA has been relatively quiet for some time. According to Minister Creecy, the audited financial statements for the past year will only be available next February. But the view that she and Chairman of SAA, Derek Honnacombe, were able to deliver to the committee was that while SAA is now debt-free, which of course we are all relieved to know, notwithstanding where that funding would come from, it is definitely cash poor and will require private equity partnership in order to continue these high costing operations. Amongst the concerns that they raised was the fact that there is no private equity partner or offer or interest on the table. And what it has meant is there are a number of interventions that they've had to consider. The first, of course, is that they've approached South African banks for a loan facility in order to support the business for some time while the search for a private equity investor remains on. You might be confused. What happened to the Takatso Consortium? That was a big deal at some point. You may remember in March, that deal was scuppered not only over the valuation concerns, but also concerns over the composition or how it was actually, kind of came to bear, whether the process was competitive and the like. At the time, late Minister Pravin Gordhan indicated to the market that several airlines had been in discussions. And so that doesn't necessarily shine a really positive or encouraging light on what deal Barbara Creecy and Derek Honnacombe might be able to put forward to airlines now, if they've already done the due diligence and at the time found that they were not interested. To help us understand a little bit more about the deal, the implications, not only for the operations of SAA, but certainly for you as a flying consumer, I'm joined this evening by Putego Mujabile, who's an excellent aviation analyst, to give us some perspective. Putego, lovely to chat to you again, albeit on a different platform. How are you?
I'm okay, thanks, Rafilo. It's been a long time, and welcome to Kaya FM. I thank you for having me this evening.
Absolutely. So what is your take at the moment on the update that we got at a high level of the sort of debt-free position that SAA is in and this need for some kind of financial injection?
Well, there were a couple of issues that or proposals that were put on the table as per what the portfolio committee was trying to get out of the executive as well as the minister in relation to the current status of the South African Airways. One of them is that, which is important, the SAA is no longer owing anybody. You know, they are out of debt. They are no longer a threat to our fiscus, as it were, in the past, which is good sign, which is something that we must actually applaud the current executive and the board that is steering this ship at the moment. But the current situation in terms of the growth of the airline and as well as the amount of the frequencies on the slots that they currently operate in, as to whether they're going to increase them and how they're going to implement, it's still a challenge for them to explain to the public, which is something that Many people were asking in relation to what you were talking about earlier on in relation to Takatso,
yes,
and equity partner that they are not able to get, as well as the potential cash injection that may be coming from either from the loan from the bank or any other entity that can be able to offer them that relief of cash injection. So that was what was problematic for them to convince the portfolio committee as well as the public as to how they are going to get that going, as it were, with the current status that they have at the moment.
One of the things that was discussed in referring to the loans that they are seeking from banks was that they do have some collateral in the form of about 5 billion rand in assets. However, what also emerged in the conversation with Scopa was the potential for some offloading of assets in order to generate some finances. Amongst those considered and discussed were Mango, which has been in business rescue since 2021, and of course the potential for selling further landing rights at major international airports like Heathrow. Are either of those viable, advisable, and likely to solve the long-term problem?
Look, I think let's deal with the assets, tangible assets that you can get. You know, who would want you to buy the slots in the Heathrow, number one? Number two, where is the slot? The lucrative slot that they had out of Cape Town to London Heathrow was sold a couple of years ago.
That's right.
Which was, at the time, it was very much lucrative. They made substantial amount of money. Unfortunately, at the time, it was the time when SAA was really not doing well. At the moment, they've got two slots out of Johannesburg, SA 234 and SA 236, which is the two slots that they have. They can sell one. They can get enough cash to come in. Whether that cash is enough to be able to sustain them going forward, it's something that one would look at it, whether is it worth it, and how much relief you're going to get out of that, how much you are going to lose if you were to sell it off completely or leasing, because you can lease it to somebody who wants it and who would want that slot out of all the airlines that are operating out of Johannesburg to London Heathrow. BA is operating two services, and they are operating Airbus A380, two of them. Now, they're taking the entire passengers, I mean over 500 each aircraft going to London.
Yes.
You know, you've got Virgin Atlantic that is operating 787 out of Johannesburg going to London Heathrow. You know, in Cape Town you still have BA also operating. You also have there's another new airline that is now coming to start operating out of Cape Town going to London Gatwick as well. So the London slots, I don't think we are going to get enough out of it. And I would not even advise them to really, you know, sell it off or try to do that. What I would do, as it were, is to try and invest more on, which I applaud them. They've increased the frequency out of Johannesburg to Harare. The Harare route and Johannesburg is lucrative. There's enough money out of that. They went ahead and increased Mauritius,
yes,
Johannesburg and Mauritius. It's also very much lucrative for them. It's working well. They've increased others within the region. So that in itself, it is a sign that, you know, if they can continue to concentrate on narrow-body Western African connection, that is where your fortunes are. As to where they're going to get the money to lease the aircraft, to increase the fleet to the 22 that they are envisaged to get,
yes,
you know, it's something that the board and executive need to sit down and look at the opportunities, other than going out and do what we call a wet lease from Sun Express, which is the Turkish and Lufthansa airplanes,
right,
that they currently have for December period.
But now, okay, so I want to talk a little bit more about that. 16 aircraft at the moment. We're hoping to get to 21, I thought, but you're seeing 22. And about the lucrativeness, so the regions sound excellent. And it seems as though amongst the international, Heathrow is the most lucrative and probably the one not to target. I think the others are Sao Paulo, as you say, Mauritius and Perth. If I just think about, if just even anecdotally, South Africans travel from business to, you know, moving to family connections, Heathrow really does seem to be the one. Just out of interest, if, and I know you're focusing on the landing rights, but if, for example, and I know it's not operating at the moment, Mango's not operating at the moment, but seeing a permanent exit of, say, Mango from the SAA balance sheet, and just the shifts that you're suggesting making, more focus on regional, what does it mean for a South African traveler in terms of availability of aircraft, competitiveness in the market, and what might happen to our plane prices?
So there are two dilemmas that SAA is faced here. One is that if you were to concentrate on selling off Mango completely, you know, and giving it to Refiler and Air Consortium out there to try their luck on the market and see how much you can get out of that. The dilemma that you are faced with is that Refiler Airline once comes onto the equation and participate on the market, you're already getting into the market that is saturated by, basically dominated and by the SAF, you Lyft and so on. But Lyft it's something else that we'll talk about it later. But let's deal with the current low cost that we have, which is SAF. So you are going to get in there and find the market that is not necessarily in favor, especially if you are going to operate with the brand Mango, which we know for the fact that how it exited the market and the confidence might not necessarily come immediately. So, but what I would do again is look for somebody who can take it off and relinquish the entire thing to whoever wants it. And whatever that they do, it's fine, but you will get a bit of money. The second point, which is important, which we have asked about the aircraft availability for them to operate on the market, is that SAA is currently operating with an Airbus fleet. Now, whether you want narrow body or you want wide body on the fleet composition, it is very difficult on the market. Airbus is in high demand because
Boeing's going through.
Yes, Boeing is going through some turbulent time. Yes. And once the Boeing has problem, the Airbus increases the price because the demand becomes very high on the market. Now, what they may want to do, which is going to be very much costly also for them for training, but if it's the only opportunity that you have, you can switch to Boeing and look at the Boeing composition that you can get in the meantime when you are trying to sort yourself out. Because in the Boeing composition, then you will have an opportunity to at least be able to get the cheaper rate in terms of leasing. And also, there are many partners that SAA can partner with and be able to get Boeing 787, the Dreamliners. Kenya Airways is operating that, as well as the Ethiopian Airline, they're operating that. So it's something that they can look at if they want to come out of the situation, especially when we are looking at the wide body. But other than that, the other opportunity that they have is to ask the Department of Transport to intensify on the licensing. You know, we've got what we call an FOP, foreign operators permits, that are issued to international airlines. We as a country, we're not benefiting anything out of those slots that we give to the likes of Emirates, the likes of any other airlines that comes to South Africa and take our passengers. They're not paying. It's not. There isn't any much that we're getting as South Africans. The reciprocal gestures that sometimes comes with diplomatic arrangements that we have, they are more in favor of the foreigners than us as the country. And which is something that, many operators like your Air Link, they have been, trying very hard to say, we shouldn't just be lenient to give people, slots to land as they wish the way they are. I think that's where we need to also do.
I think there's a risk there of not understanding our bargaining power in that discussion, insofar as there generally usually is a reason why we're on the back foot with diplomatic sort of reciprocal deals. But I want to also extend an invitation to one of our listeners, Dumza, who has a question for you. Have a listen.
Tiffy, I want to know, is it possible that, you know, SAA can just be put out there, you know, for us as the public to actually buy shares in it, you know, to keep it running? Because for some of us, okay, let me speak for myself. I love SAA, you know, and I look at SAA and I see national pride. And it would be very sad if it was to be bought by a private company who will actually change, who go to an extent of changing the name. And just like, you know, it's the same thing with the rugby. I mean, if we could buy Sasol shares, why can't we buy SAA shares?
Interesting perspective there, and seems quite constructive, wouldn't you say, Peter?
Absolutely. It's something that, you know, the shareholder, which is the government here, needs to make a determination in a form of a government gazette to publish it, whether, you know, they can make determination as whether they want to list it in a stock exchange for us as the public to go buy some shares out of SAA. And they can do that. To be honest with you, they can take 20% of the shares and put it on the stock market, and the feeler and the listeners can go and buy. And in that way, you are equally forced to be able, as a shareholder, to book with SAA, because you are increasing your equity stake within the airline. And I think it's something that the government, if they are serious about making sure that we keep the brand SAA. I love SAA. I'm sorry to say this. I'm a South African, and other airlines may come to me and say, but, you know, you've declared your love to the South African Airways. I love SAA because I'm a lifetime platinum member of SAA.
Ooh,
I've been flying SAA for years. And I know what SAA it stands for. And you know, it's sad sometimes to go to the other countries. Just recently, I was in Netherlands, and you know, to see other African airlines there in Amsterdam, and you don't see South Africa as the biggest brother of African countries. No way. It's sad. And I think the listener, and I agree with her, it's something that we as public can actually propose to the minister and say, please consider us. We would like you to put it on the stock market at JSE so that we can buy some shares. We will definitely go buy shares as South Africans. And that will be able to relinquish some of the burdens that they've got of the cash flow. And South African Airways will flourish again. We'll have enough money to be able to acquire more airplanes.
Thank you so much, Phuthego Mojapele. We'll have to leave it there. Aviation analyst, and thank you to Dumza for your question. A really constructive perspective. It would not be the first time a state-owned entity would...
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.